This was a Sunday where I thought I might try to see how long it would go if we just let the greeting go and go. And I thought, you know, Renee could just take over at some point and it would be fine and everyone would be so happy. But I am grateful that you are making space for Renee and for our greeting. Thank you, Sarah Larkin.
Look, friends, to the sky, to the stars that dance with this tiny globe on which we travel. Look to the horizon, to the tree line, the expanse of wide open fields, to this living, breathing earth that makes our living and breathing possible. Look at the faces that surround you and notice what a wonder it is. That we don't have to walk this world alone. All of it is a miracle. All of it deserves awe. May this time we spend together illuminate the astonishing preciousness of it all. To acknowledge all that is being held by the people in this room, we light one pillar candle for the sorrows of the world, for the moments that weigh heavy on our hearts. We light another pillar candle for the joys of the world, for the moments of hope and celebration. And now, if we could have Claudia Utz Smith come and light our chalice. Claudia has been attending this church off and on since 1989, and she was asked to join the board. And it seemed like a good time for her to give back and step up. She knew that this position deserved to be treated with commitment, so her personal goal was to simply show up more to services and more to congregational events. It felt like it was her duty. She quickly saw the abundance and variety of benefits that she received. She felt more deeply connected both socially and spiritually and to her UU heritage. Additionally, the more she saw and learned, the more profound her appreciation was for her fellow board members, the congregation's volunteers, and for each and every one of our dedicated staff. There continue to be many gifts to give and receive. Thank you for the gifts you share with us, Claudia. Open your hearts to the wonder of worship. Open your minds to the eternal quest for meaning and truth. Open your eyes to the miracle of creation. Open your arms to the embrace of human care. Open your souls and let the divine sweep in.
Advent begins 4 weeks before Christmas, and that is this Sunday. And it names our yearning for a time when hope and peace and joy and love support every being, including the living earth. So each Sunday, we light one more candle on this wreath, which represents, as a wreath, the ongoing life. So your response to what I say, and I'll give you the cue so you don't need to worry when it will be, is we are waiting with hope.
We are waiting with hope.
So hear these words. After Claudia lights the first candle. In this season, we wait with hope for a time when those who are hungry are nourished, those who need shelter have a place to call home, and the ones who live with mental illness find emotional comfort and peace. We are waiting for hope to come to our lives through compassion.
We are waiting with hope.
This morning, our prelude is actually going to be Renee Jenkins, and if you were here in 2017, he came to this congregation and did this amazing service of sound where we could feel the sounds resonating in our bodies. He is an experienced musician in many ways, and some of the information about him has been in our bulletin, also in the journal, and you can learn more about him there. But now we're going to try a time for all ages as the prelude to really focus on meditation. And it's a very important skill for us in this time in which we're living so that we can maintain a balance no matter what comes our way. So, Renee, thank you.
Thank you. So I have an instrument here that is a condor quill antara. This instrument was dreamt by my teacher, a Peruvian man named Tito La Rosa. His dream is that he was playing this instrument with a condor feather. These are turkey feathers. And while he was playing it, in their cosmology, there is the upper world, which is the Hanan Pacha, which represents the cosmic self, the part of us that is infinite, connected to the universe. And so when you're playing these two instruments, it's like a blessing, an acknowledgement that we are more than the body. And if you can allow yourself just to receive your, whatever you conceive as your, this higher aspect of yourself, it could be a higher love, it could be higher ethics, and the flow and being connected of your inspired self. As I play, and I might move towards you a little bit, but I just invite you to say hello to that aspect of yourself and acknowledge it within you. When my teacher came out of the dream, he made one because condor feathers are a little easier to come by in South America. And when he made one, about a month later, he went into a museum with his wife, Elba, and saw one as an artifact behind glass. And he was like, oh, the dream came from my ancestors. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Renee.
You know, so many times we think about what are these blessings? They could be from our ancestors saying, thank you for living your best life, for taking care of you for me. Yeah. So thank you for receiving that.
There couldn't be a better introduction to what Emily will be saying about our interfaith rotating winter shelter. Because as we are a part of that shelter, we need to be very centered and very grateful that we have the opportunity to give or to receive in that effort. And we call upon our higher self, not because we are giving ourselves away, but because we're giving to those who could be us at many times in our lives. And so, Emily, I invite you to speak about your experience with the Interfaith Rotating Winter Shelter.
Today in the social hall, we start the sign-ups for the Interfaith Rotating Winter Shelter. The bulletin this week describes the many different jobs that are available. Pat Moore Pickett and Lindsay Weston are our wonderful coordinators. Our church sponsors the shelter from January 26 through February 2nd. And Pat provided me with a little joke earlier, which was I had a typo. I had said January 6th through February 2nd, and Pat looked just like that when correcting me. I volunteered with the church for most years since 2013 when I joined the church, and for a number of those years, I volunteered with Avery, my teenager. Working at the shelter helps me to live into our first UU principle, the inherent worth and dignity of every person. And Beth gave sort of wonderful context when she mentioned the giving and the receiving part. So in terms of the giving part, I give a few hours of my time and labor, and in a small way I help to make other people's lives materially better. We help people feel worthy, safe and nurtured, and warm and fed. It's a very modest, but it's a concrete action. In terms of receiving, this really is the more profound experience that I've had with the shelter. The clients teach me about their dignity and worth. I may learn a client's backstory or experience their unique personality. Or maybe I get to hear about their interests and passions. Whether it's through a quick exchange when I serve food, or a more extended conversation where sharing a meal, or one of the other things I love to do is driving folks from the intake center to the shelter. I find common ground with people for whom I may not normally cross paths. We might like the same dish of food. Maybe we've lived in Davis at the same time for many years, or maybe we just like to share proud events that our children have had. We all have our backstories. Some are more complex and difficult than others. Homelessness can happen to anyone. After every two-hour shift, I come away humbled and inspired by how folks manage with dignity and good spirit when they're faced with adversity. I feel so proud of our church, our community, and other Davis faith groups when we do this work together. And now I'll just tell you a few statistics because they're really impressive. The program started in 2007 with 25 shelter beds and 9 congregations and community groups. It's grown considerably since that time. There are now 50 faith groups and lay groups as part of the process. We have between 25 and 40 clients a night and up to 1,500 volunteers each season, and the season now runs all the way from December to the middle of March. Last year, 10 congregations sheltered 114 different individuals. Initially, Avery and I worked together mostly in the kitchen and serving food. For parents looking to do a project with your child, I highly recommend the shelter. Avery got lots of compliments on their dishwashing skills, and I got to watch Avery working with adults independently. When I worked on my own, I also tackled the dishwasher, and I'm proud to say I'm now an expert. I've had wonderful conversations with members of the congregation in the kitchen, and I feel more connected to those people through our shared work. I also like driving the clients to the church, serving the food and setting up the tables. But always, the most rewarding part of this evenings are the snippets of conversation I have with the clients, often over a meal. Please check out the sign-up table in the social hall after the service, and I'm sure whatever shift you sign up for, you'll enjoy it.
So you may wonder why the children are here during this five-minute description of the shelter. And it is so as families with young children and older children, you can hear that there are opportunities for people of many ages to be involved. And our religious exploration program will also be supporting this shelter and finding ways for the kids to contribute. And so now is the time for the children to leave for their groups. This is a time of reflection, reminding us of our connection to each other. Hearing names of those who have asked that we remember them or their loved ones. A ritual of coming together in this way that is unique to gatherings like what we have right here, when our focus is only on our connection, our inner life, to our actions, to that which is beyond ourselves. And so we take this time to breathe together as one and to remember these prayers for the people. For Stephanie Close and Jerry Fries. Stephanie's brother, Bob Close, died the week before this one. And it was a beautiful relationship of whimsy and admiration. For the children in our families who struggle with mental and physical wellness, and for the parents who sometimes carry the knowledge of this almost alone, not knowing where to take their heartache, we hold them in our hearts. And we hold in our hearts those who are organizing and staffing the winter shelter. We give thanks for their commitment. And in this driving winter rain that continued through the night, we hold those who have no shelter through this winter in our hearts and minds. Dear ones, let the mind and spirit wander now. Remember the people who helped to create the person that we are right now. The best of who we are in this time. Whether we think about parents, perfect and imperfect, the children in our family, however we define family, remembering our siblings, our friends, those we rub elbows with at work and in play, and even the ones who shape our focus in the news, those who inspire and those who discourage. They all help to motivate and to create who we can become. Let the mind and spirit wander. Move through life in this moment of quiet. And remember, who should receive your gratefulness to help you to become the best of who you are now? Let your mind and your spirit wander.
I know I'm supposed to talk about something. And I don't want to really break the space. But I do feel like when we are still, when we allow ourselves to just step into that sacred place that only you know, that center, acknowledging that this is a precious moment, an infinite, meaningful, one-of-a-kind moment, it brings in that sense of awe and maybe a little bit of responsibility of, you know, I can choose to be more here. I can choose to be more present with those who I love and show them who I am, to share my medicine, which is your authentic self. So for me, it took a while to figure out what and how to express love, my love, without being too schmaltzy or too much. And then after a while, I said, forget it. I'm going to just be too much, if that's what it is, and loud, and try to make it pretty. And then after that, I was like, why try to make it pretty? Just express what is. And sometimes, you know, love has a fierceness to it. Not just the gentle, warm, fuzzy side. And I think that's what it takes sometimes to, you know, if you don't think it's enough, then here's another way. If there's not enough funds, there's not enough you can do, if you just don't feel like you're enough, there's a way to just deeply go into your center, and I found that way through sound. And so did my ancestors, apparently. There are many instruments that were about calling in the support, the energy, the light, the oomph, to take, help us, to help take the next step, whatever that next step was. If it was because you were moving out of puberty and it was time to go step into manhood, or was to the cry to battle, there is an instrument for that, the patuto or the conch shell. So I would like to give you an opportunity to experience the instruments in more of a shamanic way, where you can tune in to the frequencies of these different personalities. You know, the patuto was played as an initiatory instrument. So as I play this, you can think in your own way, what is your next step? And how do you want to be when you take that step? Fully embracing the warrior leader that you are, who shows up fully. No excuses, no, you know, just shows up because you have your heart behind you. The South, I'm trying to point to the South, which is the one who's connected to your heart, to what's most meaningful to you, your family, your friends, your pets, because that's what you're going to show up for. And maybe it's a vision, like what are your next steps? So the archetypal force of the visionary is the East. So I will play to the East. My vision looks like this in the world right now, but it could change. I could pick up the banjo or something. And then, of course, the archetypal force of the West is the teacher. We are all teachers in here, whether we've taught someone younger than us the ways of the world, or maybe what worked best for you. The teacher is about the ancestors, the direction of the ancestors. And they teach us about letting go and trusting, to not be so attached to the outcome. Be open to the outcome. This work may turn out greater than I can even imagine. So I invite you to step into your center and call in all of your teachers. You can send them gratitude. So you can say hello to all these parts of you, your warrior leader, your healer, your visionary. Thank you. didgeridoo was used by the Australian Aboriginals and is still used as a means of going into dream time, like an altered state. And it was in that altered state, it was said they could go forward and backward into time. So to me, if you allow yourself, as I allow myself, just to relax into my center, we know we're safe here. And allow yourself just to go in between the worlds where you're not fully in your normal state of consciousness and not asleep. And just paying attention, like you're tracking the thoughts that come up, you're tracking the images or the memories that come. Because that's where the juicy information is, in that state in between. And I might come about around the room and have you feel the vibration of this instrument. Just notice how you feel. I see myself and I see you as an instrument. You're breathing. You're beating a rhythm. You communicate through your energy, through your eyes, through your touch. What you choose to do with this instrument and its fine subtleties, through your expression, through your medicine, when you're being your authentic self. A teacher of mine, Lawrence Smith, the Kashaya Pomo man, called it Weya. As you give nurturing and healing energy, you're giving Weya. And Weya, this nurturing, healing energy, surrounds us and moves through us when we're nurturing and healing. So when we're giving Weya to a friend, we are allowing that nurturing, healing energy to move through us. And he would say, remember to include yourself in the healing, to close the circuit. It's not a one-way thing. If you think of all the caregivers giving their energy and they get burnout, they have to remember to include themselves in the healing. And why wouldn't you? It's easy for me to remember playing something like this or the flute because I'm circular breathing, and the breath is helping me remember to close the circuit.
We have to keep the chalice of our beings full as we're caregivers and as we care for this earth, for the justice issues of our time. Our chalice must be full all the time. And we extinguish the pillar candles symbolizing our sorrows, hoping that they are lighter because of the time we've spent here today. And we extinguish the pillar candle of our joys, hoping that they travel with us, and the chalice as well. May we have found something in this service that brings us strength and joy, and the Advent candle too. I invite you to just connect with someone near you, if maybe with a hand or touching an elbow or an arm, whatever is comfortable for you, and to hear these words and to know that there are CDs available from Renee and that Sarah will be staffing that table, and there will be a healing sound ceremony from 1 until 2:30 this afternoon right here.
Remember that the universe is so much larger than our ability to comprehend. Let us go from this time together with the resolve to accept that there exists much beyond our own small understanding and expectations.
Let wonder and awe, that sense of what is sacred, open our minds and light up our lives. May we live in that light this week until we gather again, and let this congregation say amen.
Amen.
And thank you to Renee.
Thank you.